Good morning, and Merry Christmas from the cold shores of the Sunshine State. I won't tell you the truth, it's been a while since I've been in weather this cold. You know, an old Floridian sees a little bit of ice and he thinks it's snowed outside. Well, last year, if you remember, we looked at the story of the wise men and discussed three Christmas carols. Today, I want us to look at the Gospel of John, and I want to talk to you about three Christmas adventures. So go ahead, if you would, and turn with me to the Gospel of John. John chapter number 1. Our text is going to be in verses 11 and 12. John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12 today. Christmas, a national holiday. It is not happy holidays, it is Merry Christmas. It's a time of joy and a time of cheer. Christmas is a time of giving, of being with family, eating, and music, colorful decorations. And believe me when I say I love all of those aspects of Christmas. I do. But my friend, I want you to also understand that Christmas is about one of the grandest events to ever occur in this world. Christmas is about the arrival of Emmanuel, God with us. Christmas is about the arrival of Emmanuel to earth, the birth of Jesus Christ, or the Christian word for it, the incarnation of the Son of God. Jesus is the reason for the season. And one of the very best things that you can do this Christmas is this. Spend a few moments pondering this thought. Why did Jesus come into this world? Friend, I most assuredly can answer that question for you. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says this, and this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul said, I am chief. Church, I am so glad that Jesus came to save me personally. That's what I needed the most from God, and that's exactly what the Lord offered to me. And friends, I bless His holy name that Jesus came to save a sinner like me. And church, that is Christmas every day for me. My friend, it's time for us to stop asking God to help me accomplish my dreams. And it's time for us to start asking the Lord, Lord, how can I accomplish your plans for me? Church, God knows best. And that type of praying and that type of heart attitude just might change the course of your walk this side of eternity. Listen, the question of all ages is this. What and who is the baby lying in the manger at the Christmas season? Answer that question right and act on your answer and everything will be right. Answer that question wrongly and everything will be wrong. What you believe about what the Bible says concerning the baby in the manger is a litmus test of your faith. Is it just a head knowledge or is it life-altering belief? Title of the message today is Three Christmas Adventures. If you found your place there in John chapter 1, if you're physically able, I'm going to ask that you go ahead and stand with me this morning. And I want us to read a few verses together. Verses 10, 11, and 12. John chapter 1. Everybody ready? The Bible says this. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And all the church said,
amen.
Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, as we travel through these Christmas adventures that John mentions, if you're saved, I'm going to hope today that, my friend, you would learn to rest and rejoice in the reception of God's great gift to you. If you're not saved, my prayer for you, my friend, is that you might receive the greatest gift of all gifts this Christmas day. Three Christmas adventures. Now, our text is found here in the Gospel of John. Now, the Apostle John was not a wordsmith. As a matter of fact, not only does he use very small words and a very small vocabulary in the Gospel of John, but we find that the words John does use are few in number and they are simple in manner. Now, I like that because I'm a very simple man and I need very simple language presented to me. John doesn't write about many of the things that the other three gospel writers wrote about. Matthew, Mark, Luke, they all wrote about different stuff. For instance, we don't find any genealogy of Christ in the Gospel of John. We don't find anything about the Nativity. There's no Bethlehem story. There's no manger. Not anything about the boyhood of Christ. In fact, John doesn't even give us any of the parables of Christ. John was not a wordy writer. John was a weighty writer. John was zeroing in on a special purpose. Not the experiences of Jesus, but he was zeroing in on the meaning of it all. And my friend, John speaks of the sovereign majesty of the deity of Jesus Christ like no other writer of Scripture does. Christmas is not about the story of a helpless baby. Christmas is about the story of a loving God. It's not about manger scenes and silent nights. Yes, that's part of it all, but it's about Messiah's story and his choice to dwell among us and our choice to either receive him or to reject him. Here's something to think about. When our Heavenly Father wanted you to know what he was like, you know what he did? He sent Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 15 says this, speaking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God.
Amen.
You want to know about God, what he looks like, how he is? Study Jesus Christ. The Bible says this also in John 14 and verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been with you such long time? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. The baby in Bethlehem is Christ the Creator. He is the great God of Genesis 1. We're talking about three Christmas adventures. Adventure number one is what we're going to call the greatest trip. Look at verse number 10. He, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. The greatest trip. Now, Brother Doug, when God wanted to disrupt history, he sent a little baby to a lowly couple in the little town of Bethlehem. Why the Nativity? Why was Jesus born on Christmas Day? What is the meaning of the mystery of the manger? Why should this awe-inspiring God step out of glory and come to earth? Why would the infinite become an infant? How and why? Why was Jesus born of a virgin? The answer is so you could be born again. Why did Jesus become a son of man? The answer is so you could become a son of God. Why did Jesus come to this earth? The answer is so you could go to heaven.
Amen.
What's it all about? It's about Emmanuel, salvation, God with us, Christmas. Solomon asked a very riveting question. Way back in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27, Solomon asked this question. He said, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth?" That's a good question. Now, some years ago, some of you probably lived through it. Some years ago, man went for the first time to the moon. And when that happened, the President of the United States said this. He said, "The planting of human feet upon the moon is the greatest event in human history." Now, no disrespect to the president, but he was spectacularly wrong. The greatest event in human history was not the planting of human feet upon the moon. The greatest event in human history was the planting of the feet of God on the earth. That's the greatest event that's ever happened. God with us. The incarnation, the Almighty, left glory and he entered this world of woe. Friend, what good is it to put a man on the moon if we can't get God into our heart? What good is it to study astronomy and then miss the bright and morning star? What good is it to know how the heavens go if you don't know how to go to heaven? What good is it to study botany, the study of flowers, and you can't smell the sweet rose of Sharon? What good is it to know the story of history, yet be ignorant of his story? What good is it to know geology and the ages of rocks if you don't know the rock of ages? Jesus stepped out of heaven and he walked on the earth. Brother Al, it is the greatest trip of eternity. The incarnation, the genesis of Christmas. Listen, the Bible says he came into his own. Now, if he came, that means he left. He came to earth, he left heaven. Think about what he left on that original Christmas trip. The Lord Jesus put down the crown of diadems. He laid aside that radiant robe of light. He got up from the glory-circled throne, crossed over the crystal sea, passed over the river of life, left those ivory palaces of heaven. Then Jesus stepped across the stars, galloped through the galaxies, right into our own Milky Way, right into our own solar system. Jesus left one world and he entered this world. He did not have his beginning in Bethlehem. You remember what he said in John chapter 8? Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Now understand, when Jesus said that, Abraham had been dead for a millennium of time. Jesus was talking about his eternal existence. And for this remarkable trip, the Lord Jesus would have to leave behind the splendor of all of his heavenly glory. Let me give you a couple of verses. John chapter 17 and verse number 5. Jesus said, "And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self." Watch this. "With the glory which I had with thee before the world was." A few verses down in John chapter 17 and verse 24. Jesus said, "Father, I will that they also..." Those that believe upon him, his disciples, "I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am." Watch this. "That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me." You ever thought about heaven? The golden streets and the gates of pearl and the walls of jasper and the multiplied million-man choir. That's heaven. That's wonderful. But friend, I want you to understand that the most exciting thing about heaven is beholding the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Friend, before this planet was ever flung into space, God the Father and God the Son were having glory there together. Concerning our loved ones, understandably so, because separation is difficult. Sin causes that. Concerning our loved ones, we often pray, Lord, don't let them go. But you know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, Father, let them come. I want them to behold my glory, the awe of the ages. The great mystery of the manger is that God translated deity into humanity, and he did it without discarding his deity or distorting the humanity. Friend, the blood that flowed through the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ was the unsullied blood of Almighty God. It's all part of the greatest trip. He came unto his own, the greatest trip. But notice this, it also says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Not only the greatest trip, number two, the greatest tragedy. Look at verse 11. He came into his own, and his own received him not. The greatest tragedy. Now, Israel knew God promised to send a Messiah. They had great privilege. They had the scriptures. They had history, they had experiences, they had miracles, they had the prophets, but they missed Messiah. And Israel has yet to recover from that miscalculation. But my friend, once Israel does receive Jesus, the crisis of the Middle East will be over and it will be done for good. In the same way, we in America today are greatly privileged. We have churches everywhere. We have Christian bookstores. We have Christian schools. We have Christian ministries. God's word is readily accessible. What a tragedy to miss Christ when he is everywhere for the taking. It will be something men never recover from ever. Now, officially, Israel was longing for the appearance of the Messiah. But in reality, they were looking for a certain kind of Messiah. They wanted Messiah my way, not God's way. They wanted Messiah that they had created with their own minds. Israel had been under the oppression of the Roman government. So they wanted someone that was going to be a strong military and political leader. Someone that was going to make Israel powerful again. Someone that was going to put them in charge and make the nation be respected again. But for all of their dreams of dazzling power, it only yielded the reality of a lonely manger. Instead of a brandished military leader, they got a meek and a lowly man. God wasn't interested in saving a nation. God was interested in saving souls. He came into his own, but his own received him not. Now this rejection started from the very beginning. You remember the story of the wise men? The wise men came and they arrived at Jerusalem with the news of the birth of a newborn king. And we find that not only Herod, but the Bible says all Jerusalem was troubled. Do you remember the announcement and the message of heaven at the birth of Jesus Christ? The angel says, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. See, Eli, what God considers good news, man considers bad news. Even today, Christmas holidays, no, anything but that. Winter holidays, I saw that this past week over in Gainesville when I was there. Driving by Santa Fe College, they had a big poster board set up there, closed for the winter holidays. In stores, it's not Christmas, it's Happy Holidays. On gift cards, you're much likely to see Xmas instead of Christmas. If you drive around neighborhoods, you're going to find snowmen and reindeer and elves and Santas and presents. You're not likely to find a nativity or cross or any biblical message. What God considers to be good news, man considers to be bad news. The birth of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, friends, it was glorious news. But the Bible says all of Jerusalem was troubled. So at his birth, Jerusalem was troubled. Then Jesus Christ began his public ministry. And as he did, the Lord was rejected by the chief priest, by the scribes, and by the elders. Even his own family rejected him. His brothers and sisters did anyway. One of his own disciples was a devil. And then at the execution, when it came time for the crucifixion, when a choice was given to choose between Barabbas, a known insurrectionist and murderer, or between Jesus Christ, the man that raised their dead, healed their sick, and fed the hungry, when the choice was made between Jesus Christ and Barabbas, the people of Israel shouted in solidary unity, "Give us Barabbas, crucify him, away with this man, crucify him, crucify him, give us Barabbas, crucify Jesus." And then at the end, even his own disciples scattered. He came into his own, and his own received him not. The greatest tragedy. Would you listen to me? The greatest tragedy is not being born in America or living in America. The greatest tragedy is not being sick at Christmas or having a debilitating disease. The greatest tragedy is not being single or lonely. It is not being able to retire. The greatest tragedy is not getting a Christmas gift or not having a family to spend Christmas with. Listen, the greatest tragedy is not receiving Jesus Christ. Amen. He came into his own and his own received him not. In spite of who Christ was, in spite of what Christ had done, he was still rejected by most. God walked among man and man crucified him. The power of heaven was on full display for 3 straight years with miracles innumerable, yet he was rejected. They knew him not. They saw, they heard, they watched, they saw his works, they heard his words, and they watched his sinless life. Jesus was the way, but they did not walk with him. Jesus was the truth, but they did not believe him. Jesus was the life, but they crucified him. They rubbed shoulders with the Son of God, but they were blind to see it. All the educated religious leaders were ignorant. Education had failed them. What a tragedy to have a college degree and die in your sins. What a tragedy to hear the Christmas story and go into everlasting fire. What a tragedy to eat to your fill, drive nice cars, live in nice heated homes, wear the finest clothes, yet receive him not. To do so is to be no different than many in Israel 2,000 years ago. Friend, listen to me this morning. Don't you dare let history repeat itself in you. Receive Christ. Be made new today. Amen. If the greatest tragedy is to receive him not, then, my friend, I want to tell you that the greatest treasure is to receive Jesus Christ. And that brings us to our third and final point this morning. We're talking about 3 Christmas adventures. Not only the greatest trip, Jesus left heaven and he came to earth. Not only the greatest tragedy to not receive the Son of God. But number 3, I want to talk to you about the greatest treasure. Look at verse 12. But, I like those buts in the Bible. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The greatest treasure. Now the message of John in these Christmas adventures is very simple. Brother Doug, some receive, others reject. During this Christmas season, it's very fitting that we give gifts one to another. After all, God gave. God gave the greatest of all gifts. God gave Jesus. You have to receive a gift. Now, I have here a huge box of chocolate-covered cherries. And my goal, my purpose, and my hope is for you to receive my gift. Brother Hugh, would you receive my gift to you? Thank you. Brother John, would you receive my gift to you?
Yes, sir.
Sister Tasha, would you receive my gift to you?
Thank you.
Nick, would you receive my gift to you?
Thank you.
Lauren, would you receive my gift to you?
Thank you.
All right. Everybody got their cherries? Okay. I want you to notice that I provided the gift. I thought about it. I planned it. I bought and paid for it. All you had to do was receive it. In the same way, listen, God has provided the gift of salvation, eternal life, and the forgiveness of sins to you. He provided the gift. He thought about it. He planned it. He paid the price. All you have to do is receive it. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. God's gift to you is Jesus Christ. Friend, you just received chocolate-covered cherries from me. And you already likely have or will receive Christmas gifts from family or friends. But will you not receive God's gift? Will you receive gifts from men but refuse the gift of God? Let me give you a few verses. Romans 6:23 says this, "But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Did you catch that? Jesus is the gift of God. John 4, verse number 10, "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him," that is, he that is asking for the drink, the gift of God, Jesus Christ, "thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water."
Amen.
Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, it is the gift of God." Of God. Salvation is a gift.
Amen.
Gifts must be received.
Right.
You know what Paul said about God's gift? He said, "I thank God for his unspeakable gift." Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. It's Jesus. You got to receive him. You got to take him. Romans 5 verse 15. "So also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one," that is Adam back in the Garden of Eden, "for if through the offense of one many be dead," God said, "much more the gift of God by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many." Just take it freely, just like you took the cherries. Revelation 22, verse 17 says, "Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Now, are you listening? We have already established in the most practical way possible that everybody in this sanctuary knows how to receive a gift. Everybody. You just take it. It's offered and you take it. I offered the cherries to you and you took them. That's what a man has to do with Jesus Christ. God has offered Jesus to you. Just take him.
Right.
Take him by faith into your heart. Receive Christ. Because listen, to not receive is to reject. Everything you receive this Christmas is going to be no value to you 100 years from today. Because if it's not broke, you will be. You'll be in a grave somewhere just like I will be. My precious friend, this Christmas, God wants to give you the gift of eternal life.
Amen.
John chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus said this, listen, I give unto them eternal life. 1 Timothy 6:12 talks about this. It talks about laying hold, about receiving, about taking. It talks about laying hold of eternal life. John 6:47, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." John 6:51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he will live forever," Jesus said. The gift of salvation in Jesus Christ is worth more than all the gifts that the world can give you. Eternal life. Life without end. Would you turn that down if it was offered you? Friend, that's exactly what God is offering you. Don't say that you can't take it. Be honest and say that you won't take it. John chapter 5, verse 40, Jesus said, "You will not come unto me that you might have life." Not that you can't have life. Not that you can't come to Christ. Jesus said, "You won't come that you might have life." God is good, and God never offers man a gift that he cannot take. God has offered the gift of his Son and the forgiveness of sin to every single human being on this planet. Hey, I gave you those cherries. I offered them to you. You can never undo that offer. It happened. In the same way, you can't undo the offer that God's made. You can't cover your ears and pretend you didn't hear. And you can't pretend and play dumb like you don't understand. You received the cherries just fine. The gift can be received or it can be rejected. And my friend, you must do one or the other, because you can't do both and you can't do neither. You must receive the gift of Jesus Christ or you must reject the gift of Jesus Christ. And friend, there is no greater treasure than receiving the gift of eternal life. Christmas. Christmas, in many respects, is about family. It's important that we spend time with family at Christmas. After all, one of the reasons Jesus was sent on that first Christmas is so that we would have the opportunity to be adopted into God's family. Amen. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God." Receiving Christ puts us into the family of God, and by the power of God, we are placed into the family of the King. Brother Wayne, I thank God that he sent Jesus Christ to this world. Church, it's lit up my heart and it has lit up my home for 25 years. Let me share with you a story. A Christian law professor at a law school in New York City was talking with a brilliant law student who was getting ready to graduate in a few days. And he sat down beside the young man and the professor said, he said, "Son, I know you're going to be graduating in a few days." He said, "Yes, sir." And the professor said, "What then?" And the young man said, "Oh, I reckon I'll open up a law practice." "What then?" The student replied, "Well, I'll probably get married." And then the professor said, "What's going to happen after that?" He said, "I'll probably build a home and live on the outskirts of town." And the professor said, "What then?" And the student continued replying, he said, "Oh, I reckon me and my wife will be busy raising a family. What then?" And as the student thought more into the future, he said that he would probably retire at some point and then live out the rest of his life in ease. Now the Christian professor was getting closer to his point. He then asked that law student, "What then?" To which the student said, "Well, I guess I'll probably just die. What then?" And the student said, "Well, I guess I'll just leave it up to God what happens then." Friend, don't you dare make the same mistake that student made. He was the one that was making a decision, not God. Jesus died so that every sinner could be saved And it's up to each of us what we do with the Son of God.
Yeah.
What you do with Jesus Christ while you are alive will determine what happens to you after you die. It is not God that determines whether you go to heaven or hell. It's you and your decision of Jesus Christ. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We're the one that makes that decision. Jesus invites you to repent and to turn to Him and place faith in Him for salvation. This must be done before you die. Everybody with me? Church, it's Christmas. It's the season we celebrate when Jesus was born. Jesus Christ was born to die so that man no more may die. The way to have sin forgiven, the way to be saved, the way to have eternal life is clearly presented in our text. Believe. For as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Watch this. Even to them that believe on His name. Believe and receive. When you do, you become. Did you see that? But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. When you believe and receive, God makes you become a child of God. Easy as 1, 2, 3. Salvation is not so high that folks can't get up to it. Actually, it's so low, men won't humble themselves and get down to it. They're too proud. It's not church attendance. It's not baptism. It's not the Lord's Supper. And it's not tithes. It's not about any good work or any form of good living. It's about believing and receiving. For as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. My friend, Jesus Christ has been revealed this morning. Now, will you receive Him or reject Him? The gift of God is there to take. God says, will you receive My gift to you? You will either reach out and take it, or you will reject it. The greatest tragedy can become the greatest transaction. The greatest treasure can be yours. Jesus Christ is the gift of God. To receive a gift, you have to be offered the gift. And when somebody offers you a gift, that means somebody loves you. That means somebody saw a need. God loves you. He gave His only begotten Son. God so loved the world that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. God saw the need. He looked down. He saw you lost, alienated from God, dead in your sins. And He's offered you the gift this morning of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Received the gift of God. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this day.